Well, hey there. It's Deb, the Horoscope Lady on BBS Radio, and today is October 17th, 2007. And as we always ask, do you know where your planets are? Today, the sun is actually still in the very last moments of Virgo. Mercury is retrograde in Libra. Jupiter is at 22 Scorpio. Pluto is also in the first couple degrees of Sagittarius. The moon's in Sagittarius. Neptune is in Capricorn. The North Node's in Aquarius. Uranus is in Aquarius also. I'm laughing here. Mars is in Gemini. Saturn is in Leo. The South Node is in Leo. Venus is in Leo. And there you go. And I'm laughing because life is good. Life is good. I'm very excited about our guest today. Grimalkin is back here. And I talked to him, way back when, February or something, when I just got on BBS Radio. He's a wonderful sidereal astrologer out there on the West Coast. He'll be with us in a minute. What do I want to say? I'm going to be, if you are in anywhere around McLean, Virginia, this Friday, October 19th, I will be speaking at the McLean Community Center for the AARP. It's open to anybody who wants to come. The meeting starts at 12 noon. They'll have hot water for coffee and desserts, whenever. I think they're doing a brown bag lunch. If you want information on that, the number is 703-790-0123. I'll repeat that later on the show, but that's speaking this Friday, the McLean Community Center. And I'm also, I think my next book talk lined up is November 11th, and again, that's Gift Giving by the Stars. These are book talks. The one at November 11th is in Oakton, Virginia. It goes from 2 to 4 p.m., and that is $25. And if you're in the area, it's at the Unity Church, Unity of Fairfax, on Hunter Mill Road. And you can either call and reserve a space, or if you're in the area, drop by and give them your check before that. Their phone number is 703-281-1767. And I will repeat that at the end of the show. Okay, I'm going to let him introduce himself. This is cracking up, seven-minute introduction, but you are worth every daggone minute. How are you, Grimalkin? How are you doing today?
Deborah, hello again.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
You know, there's a great grand trine going on right now, if you count the part of fortune. So that's kind of nice.
There you go. Okay. Attention pattern manipulates mystic law, creating experience. Attention's on, God or not. Recreate the life miracle. Reprogram attention to perpetual meditation. Again. Hello, it's Grimalkin speaking. Count Grimalkin, G-R-A-M-A-L-K-I-N. Spiritual evolution, self-realization, truth seeker. The Western Sidereal Zodiacal Astrology. Disciple from the Babaji line by Paramahansa Yogananda, out of his disciple, the Reverend Master Adon Olay. Stars by Fagan, out of Missouri. By Cyril Fagan of Dublin, Ireland, 1896-1970, out of his chosen heir, the Reverend Professor John Mazurek, 1919-2003, director of the San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology. There is some natural curiosity as to how Missouri, San Francisco School, and I came to be heirs of the Fagan legacy lineage. We took his word for it. Essentially, when Fagan knew he was dying after years of correspondence, he pilgrimaged all the way to San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology for the sole purpose of wrapping up his collaboration with Missouri and to speak at San Francisco School, which he did. He actually held a class at our school. And outright tell Missouri, face-to-face, Fagan's mouth to Missouri's ear, that Missouri was heir next up in line and that Cyril was depending on John and his students to pick up and carry his torch, and that it was up to Missouri and his San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology students to see to it that the knowledge was not lost again. And that's a mantle. It's common knowledge, Grimalkin Sr. out of San Francisco School. Details on the resume page of CountGrimalkin.com. The best advice I have for you is to take my best advice. Read and heed every word of the material on CountGrimalkin.com. The only thing is only a pamphlet. The whole thing only amounts to a pamphlet. This will provide one an accurate rendition of the secret of the cosmos, the meaning of live enlightenment, how to read and predict it, and what to do about it. Adept at everything on CountGrimalkin.com. One would be at will at moments God co-creators with God. The primary Grimalkin message is threefold: spiritual evolution, horoscopes, and health. The mystery. To be a great reader, one must know something of the mystery of life. The allopathic psychiatrist asks the patient how they feel about the great reader tells them. When a void is created, for example, it does not love you, the void must be filled with something, or nature fills the void, no telling what with. Regardless of what the problem is, the solution is always the same. Disciple satsang. Satsang is when an incarnate Godhead speaks. Being only a disciple, we call it disciple satsang. They've given us 5 minutes to explain God's meaning of life in the cosmos, or as we say in the business, what is going on here? Here in the Maya, the physical world, bodies, tables, chairs, sky, stars, space. As this only takes 6 seconds, first we have the favorite joke. Oh, there is one thing you should know about I, which I never makes the same mistake twice. If I could hold it down to twice, it'd be a miracle. Okay, what is going on here? The prime directive, attention pattern manipulates mystic law, creating experience, attention is on God or not, reprogram attention to perpetual medication to recreate your life. Say it again. The grade school teacher tells you, pay attention. Pay attention. Each and every moment forever, the pattern of this attention, the pattern this attention is going in, such as glad, sad, mad, snivel, bitch, dump, glad, sad, mad, snivel, bitch, dump, or whatever, etc. pattern one's attention is going in, is manipulating the mystic law, creating one's experience. Attention pattern only has 2 basic choices. Attention's on God or not. Unless one changes one's attention pattern, one continually recreates the same experience. God does not allow evil or good. God allows free will. We are being walked and breathed along the path in which free will, we get to direct our attention to anything. The mystic law, also known as the Holy Ghost, the Mother Nature, the operating law, is system and order, rhythm and harmony, polarity, balance, cycle, analogy, cause and effect. Due to the law of cause and effect, everything is either one or the other, cause or effect. Attention pattern is cause and everything else is effect. Everything. You treat cause, effect is automatic. Attention pattern causes environment. One may be experiencing the cosmic silence and having no thoughts at all, yet one's attention is on something. One's energy goes to what one's attention is on. The cumulative effect of attention pattern is called karma and is astrologically symbolized by the natal horoscope. Rather than wandering about lost, lower self, essence-dominated reacting to effect problems, one must reprogram one's attention pattern through continual meditation. Treat cause, effect as automatic. Love, life, house, car, job, etc. are all effects created by attention pattern. That's what's going on here. What to do about it? One should, through the consciousness of the Master, moment to moment, with proper motive and purpose and purity of heart, continually direct one's attention to a pure spiritual affirmation. Yes, that means 24/7, 365, all the time. Anyone who says he knows what God is does not know. Sajidananda, and I heard him say that myself. You might have seen his movie, Woodstock. he did the benediction at Woodstock. And Darshan is the physical presence of the living incarnate Godhead. And this is the single most important element of spiritual evolution, irreplaceable. One may call one of Sajidananda, he did, one may call one of his ashrams, the Integral Yoga Institute ashrams, they're on the internet, and get a lead on finding a living Godhead. Or you could try Kriyananda, last time I heard he was still alive, or Guru Mai, or she's still alive, and Swami Boa, I heard, is still alive. Well, Swami Boa is 115 years old, still teaches in the Bronx and Brooklyn, and remembers when Sajidananda was a kid running around the ashram. Anyway, there are many ways to have one's attention on God. An example. Through the Christ consciousness, Master, may I please ask you for your grace. Thank you, amen. Etc., etc., etc. For a more in-depth explanation is available on the set song page at CountlessMalkin.com. When it starts with I, you know you're safe this time for sure, pal. The highest path, the path of self-inquiry, or who am I, is taught by Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharshi, who is known as the Heart of India, is the process of tracing the I thought to its source. This practice is known as the Way of Sages, as those who make it use this practice, and is credentialed by every living Godhead of my acquaintance, also many dead ones, for example, Paramahansa Yogananda. Due to the mystic law, cause and effect, etc., attention patterns manipulating the mystic law creating experience, one seeking self-realization. Therefore, by sending out the direct inquiry, who am I, with one's attention pattern, self-realization, who I am, is what comes back. As you sow, so shall you reap. Where did this I thought come from? Who is it that thinks thirst? Who is it thinks I need to love, pray, chat, eat, drink, run, panic, say, fend? Moment to moment, continue the practice of self-inquiry, who am I, tracing the I thought to his source. There are many books available on who am I. Any metaphysical bookstore will have them. Read a couple. Who am I? Who wants to know? For more information, read the self-realization page on counselmalkin.com. A mandala is a picture or a symbol of a pure spiritual affirmation, such as a cross. A mantra is a thought form, word-level, pure spiritual affirmation, such as Om. The mantra should automatically run continually, like breathing or heartbeat, without even thinking about it through one's attention. It should just be automatic. When you start making that list of things that create enlightenment by fulfilling desire, the wise find out quickly it's a very short list. So, therefore, if one's going to do a mantra, you might as well include the Daishonin and Daimoku mantra, the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo mantra, creates enlightenment by fulfilling desire fairly deep. So take it from the Daimoku page of Gramalkin.com. Try more Daimoku, less starch. Every time you realize you're not meditating, begin again, and that's what to do about it. Horoscopes. How to read and predict it. What you see when you look at the sky is Western sidereal zodiacal astrology. Do horoscopes for the location of birth in sidereal zodiacal longitude ecliptic with the fixed star Spica at 29 degrees of Virgo, 6 minutes, 5 seconds, epoch 1977. In what we laughingly call modern medicine, one thing they have going for them is synthesis of research. If anyone anywhere discovers anything, everybody hears about it right away. The mystery has very little synthesis of research. Each little clique, cult, belief group has its own piece of the pie, and there's little sharing and an ample amount of secrecy, jealousy, misinformation, and most groups and individuals will only believe and can only reach the mythology they were reared to believe. Carl Sagan is credited as being the modern-day father of astrology. There's some natural curiosity. No. Cyril is the one that crawled through all the tombs and pyramids, so to speak, and compiled the World History of Astrological Research. Sagan primarily synthesized the last 5 or 10,000 years. One guy, one life, synthesized the last 5 or 10,000 years of research on astrology by all civilization. This synthesis of research is the cumulative research of millions of people from many civilizations over the last 5 or 10,000 years. Masaryk was a Virgo and did some 60 years of empirical astrological research to sort and prove the truth and facts from the fallacies out of the synthesis of astrological research. Masaryk used money as his primary proof crown to being. He would say, if it doesn't work at the track, pound his fist on the podium. It doesn't work in your daily life. Armchair theorizing is one thing. However, one cannot kid oneself about the money. You have the money or they have the money. The essence of the entire technique is given to you free on CounselMalkin.com with zero. Learn to tell your own fortune free with zero spam, spyware, virus on CounselMalkin.com. Okay, we're almost done here. Stay with me. This is a little bit technical, but actually very simple and necessary to comprehend how to do this and what's going on here. Galaxies make up universes. Universes make up cosmic spheres. Our cosmic sphere is the matter of which our sun is the center. Before any understanding or education of astrology can take place, one must first understand and agree on what the zodiac is. The path the planets are orbiting through around the sun is the zodiac, and it's not moving. The path is sitting still, and the planets are moving through the path around the sun. This is physical reality in Western sidereal zodiacal astrology. Also, a lot of times people don't understand the difference in the planets and the signs. The planets are big chunks of rock and whatnot that are going in a circle around the sun. The path that they're going through is the signs. When they say, what's your sign, they're talking about which part of the path. Anyway, rather than being like a molecule with particles whirring around every which direction, all the planets go around the sun in the same path. The zodiac or ecliptic is the baseline of the three-dimensional model of our cosmic sphere. Again, do horoscopes for birth, location of birth, sidereal, zodiacal longitude, with fixed star spica 29 Virgo 6-5. The true dates of the Western sidereal zodiacal constellations or signs go approximately from the 15th to the 15th, starting April 15th of Aries. April 15th, May 15th, Aries, May 15th, June 15th, Taurus, essentially, so forth, right on around the zodiac. Essentially, as a result of the cumulative pattern of one's attention, the cosmos presents us with a stimuli. As a result of how one's attention pattern reacts to the stimuli, the game is afoot. Our reaction to the stimuli is most important. One is being walked and breathed down the path with free will. One gets to direct one's attention to anything. In a horoscope, one planet is always the strongest. This one is called the motivating planet of the horoscope. One's most angular, motivating, prominent planet shows one's initial reaction to stimulus. The first reaction of a native with Jupiter as a motivator will be happy, with Saturn sad. Jupiter conjunct Saturn, manic depressive, happy sad, and so forth through multitudes of possible aspect combinations. Properly done horoscope and tarot readings, all cast lots, yield a realistic peek into the psychological, therefore physical, past, present, and future, as above, so below, as on the inner, on the outer. Astrology, tarot, any of these techniques, one is dealing with a set of symbology for the psychological conditions one is dealing with. These conditions show how we tend to relate to things and therefore how things happen to or for us, mystic laws, cause and effect, cycles, etc. The celestial motion of the planets through the zodiacal constellations symbolize the worldwide cosmic moment, the psychological conditions for the entire planet. It's when these configurations fall activated on your personal horoscope file that you will personally have a corresponding event experience in your life. The most important thing in learning to read and predict life is a thorough and accurate understanding of the meaning of the planets. Everything works with the same intrinsic values of the planets' technique of delineation, such as astrology, tarot, I Ching, runes. They all work on the same thing, what the planets mean. The easy way to do it is to learn one planet at a time. They're all on GrimAlkin.com. Refer to a more detailed explanation on the San Francisco School Sidereal Astrology Technique of Delineation ebook, PDF available free on the Stars Eagle card page of GrimAlkin.com. Do your horoscopes in the complete file format baseline. So far, invariably, once one views the correctly done complete file baseline with all three techniques of delineation, the natal, predictive, and progress to see what actually happened, the answer becomes very obvious, and major events are so predominant they cannot be missed every time. See the Sidereal Horoscopes Chronicle current edition on the book information page of countermalkin.com. Health. That's how to read and predict it. Health. Guns don't kill people. Doctors do. Approximately 500 a day. One death every 3 minutes from allopathic medical doctor malpractice just in America, so it says in the newspaper. There are two main schools of medicine, allopathic and homeopathic. The allopathic MD is the most common type in Western civilization, and their strong suit is trauma. A broken bone, allopath is fine. However, for the prevention and cure of psychological and physical disease, the homeopathic medical doctor is recommended, as they have a whole different modus operandi. The allopath floats something around in your bloodstream trying to make your liver well. The homeopath rebuilds each individual cell in your liver from the inside out by replacing its deficiency. The homeopath may use the cell salts as well as many other homeopathic remedies. Read the homeopathics and self-realization page on calcomalkin.com for a detailed explanation. And that's the end of my introduction.
Hey, there you are. Get yourself a sip of water.
Thank you very much.
Why, tell everyone you're listening to Deb's the Horoscope Lady on PBS Radio, and that is most wonderful Counselor Malkin, who is with us today, I'm glad to say. When you just read that one the whole introduction, and everyone, you may want to go back and hear this on the archives again, because that was a lot of information in a fairly short period of time. Talking about the health, one of the things I'd been saying was, Saturn transiting the United States, 12th house, diseases would come up, or healthcare is a big issue, and of course healthcare is a big issue. But I literally just heard this morning there's a staph infection that's been out there, and they expect it to kill 90,000 Americans a year, and mostly in colleges. They're in, like, schools and colleges. And I thought, holy mackerel, you know, that's a ton of people every year being killed by a staph infection. So well, hopefully that will be cleared up fairly soon. All right, Count, what would you like to do? Count's going to do two things today. He is going to walk everyone through how to do sidereal calculations, because that's a big question. Okay, all I see is tropical. I had someone email me last week about when to wean her foal, you know, her she's got horses. And reading the Farmer's Almanac, it, you know, gave these dates. And I said, well, you know, I know what the Farmer's Almanac's saying, but the moon is actually in Capricorn, not Aquarius then, and that actually makes more sense. But how do you find that out if you don't have a fancy computer program? So the Count's going to do that. And we're going to talk about retrogrades, too, again. I'm going to be stuck on retrogrades, repeating, no pun intended, for a while. So what would you like to do first?
Well, basically, I was hoping to do that bit on what it is. It's how to use a regular, ordinary dime store calculator to do astrological math.
Then let's go there.
All right. Basically, this is for astrologers, obviously, rather than the layman, you know. But, you know, there's essentially two kinds of calculators to start with. There's the algebraic and the reverse Polish notation, RPN. Algebraic logic is 4 times 5 equals, 4 steps for everything you do. Reverse Polish notation, RPN, is 4 or 5 times, 3 steps. It's 25% reduction in steps. When you're sitting around grinding scopes 8 and 10 hours a day, a 25% reduction in steps is giant, you know. So if you were really an astrologer or working astrologer and all that, you'd want to get, like, you know, scratch rates with whoever's making the best scientific RPN calculator at the moment with lots of register stacks so you don't have to write down so many numbers and what have you, you know, to grind your scopes, you know. The actual San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology technique for doing astrological math with an ordinary calculator is a two-part thing. One is working in total seconds. The other is the 40-40-40-4000 technique. Now, as any astrologer knows, in what we call base six math, it's not really base six math, but we just call it that, the degrees and minutes turn over at 6 rather than 10. So, the rule is, when you're adding or subtracting, that if the base 6 column is not a 1 to 5 or 2 natural zeros, you 40, 40, 40, or 4,000, depending on which column you need to adjust. Now, 2 natural zeros, like 03 seconds and 06 seconds is 09 seconds. Well, that zero is a natural zero, and you don't have to adjust it. But if you've got 5 and 5 is 10, which is 0 carry 1, that's not a 1 to 5, and you have to 40 it. So basically, in the base 6 column, if it's not a 1 to 5 or 2 natural zeros, you do 40 if it's you're adjusting seconds, 4,000 if you're adjusting minutes, and 40-40 if you're adjusting minutes and seconds both. For example, if you have 40 seconds and 30 seconds, that would be 70 seconds, plus 40 would adjust that to a base 6 number. I hope this is making sense to you. But anyway, it's really that simple. And when you're adding, you plus the 40-40-4000, and when you're subtracting, you minus the 40-40-4000. So you just adjust whichever column you're on, whether it's minutes or seconds. And and that's basically it. Did that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does make sense to me. I was, it does make sense to me. And for those of you who are not astrologers, and you're thinking, what the heck was all that? Let me just mention, this is one of the reasons, astrology way back when, I mean, it was, certainly was a science, It is today, too, even though not considered so. And you had to be good at math. You had to have a brain that could grab onto, geometry, as well as trigonometry. And thank goodness for calculators and computers now, because we can do it a lot faster. But it is a mathematical science. So, and for those of you
when you had 50 seconds, 50 seconds, that's 100 seconds, right? So you'd have a zero carry one, which in this case would be a six, right? So when you add 40 to that zero, you come out with 40 seconds, and your 60 goes to the next column. If it's not a one to five or two natural zeros, you 40, 40, 40, or 4,000 as needed to readjust it. Now, you have to do this, by the way, every single time. You can't wait to the end and do it all at once. Each problem, you have to do one at a time, once you get used to it, it's so fast, and it's way faster than writing anything down and all that, And like I said, when you're adding, you plus the 40s, and when you're subtracting, you minus the 40s.
Well, there you go, and that's it. So for those of you that, would like to, astrologers, and like to say, okay, where would everything fit in sidereally, that is the way to do it. And again, you can listen to this on the archives if you didn't catch it the first time. But
this is explained on the
website. Okay.
Yeah, on the website. And then the other one is working in cumulative seconds. If you use a whole degrees with a cumulative decimal for minutes and seconds, you pick up error really fast. It doesn't take any time at all to pick up 1 or 2 degrees error on, like, say, a progress letter return ascendant using cumulative decimal for seconds and minutes. So what you do is you convert everything to seconds. You've got the longitude of an event, and you need the longitude time to get your gravity. So you go degrees times 60 plus minutes times 60, total seconds of longitude, divide by 1296,000, seconds in a circle gives you percentage increment, right? Times 86,400, seconds in a circle, seconds in 24 hours, gives you total seconds of longitude time. So then what you do is, this is the only slightly tricky part of the whole thing. What you do is, you write down the decimal, which is the final answer decimal of how many seconds, and you divide total seconds by 60, which gives you whole minutes and a decimal, which represents seconds. You subtract out the whole minutes, decimal times 60 gives you whole seconds. Write that down next to your decimal, and you have whole seconds and decimal of seconds. Whole minutes divide by 60 gives you whole degrees. Degrees out, decimal times 60 gives you whole seconds. So then you're back to degrees, minutes, and seconds. And this works every time, and you just, GMT and 24-hour motion of the planets, or time to arc to time, whatever, you do everything in total seconds. Degrees times 60 plus minutes times 60 plus seconds, do all math. Seconds divide by 60, decimal out.
Yeah.
Whole minutes out. Times 60 gives you whole seconds, divide whole minutes gives you degree, So anyway, that's the way you do it. That's the San Francisco School technique, is you do all your math in total seconds, and you use the 40, 40, 4,000.
Okay, there you go. That's it. So, it's funny because it does, I could just think of, like, friends of mine that, their brain, kind of glazes over, but I thought, okay, all you'd have to do it, just do it once. And that's what I would suggest to people, is like, you just take a problem and you just do it out once, and I think you're right, once you get it, it's like ba-boom, 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 and it works. So there you go.
Well, the
all
thing
right.
about working in total seconds is accuracy.
Well, yeah.
You get an accurate answer. And, of course, with calculators and all that, it's easy to do that, And, you get familiar with, like 1296,000 seconds in a circle, 86,400 seconds in 24 hours, 43,200 seconds in 12 hours, blah, blah, blah,
Yeah. No. It's, well, that's, of course, why we are sidereal astrologers, because it is accurate. But I just put a plug in there. Couldn't help myself. All right, sir. Retrogrades. This is, and you know, you have heard, and the listeners have heard. I've talked about them a lot recently, mainly because there has been so many retrogrades. We had the Venus retrograde. Now we're having Mercury retrograde. We will have Mars retrograde. The outer planets seem all of them at some point or another are usually retrograding. And there's always that big, oh my gosh, you know, of course Mercury is retrograde. And I had Valerie LeMay on a couple of weeks ago to talk about, you know, her views on retrogrades. You've heard mine, and I would desperately love to hear yours, or have our studio audience to hear yours, because I already know what they are. So there you go.
Thank you. We visited about this before, but essentially, as far as I understand the situation, retrogrades, like aspects, are not good or bad by nature. They just exist. What a retrograde means is that whatever the intrinsic value is, weal or woe, it's hanging out in whatever area it's hanging out in. And this is good or bad depending on what it is and what the scenario is, the case, and how that is falling on your personal file of horoscopes. They say Jupiter retrograding back and forth across your ascendant is great, and Saturn retrograding back and forth across your ascendant's a drag, you know. So, but then, as you know, all transits are not created equal, nor are retrogrades. You have to take into consideration which major fixed stars the planet is going to be configuring. There's the big 44, we call them. It's on the website. Then there's what lunar mansion it's in, which sign it's in, which planets it's configuring, transit.
Okay, let's take this one at a time for people that just don't know this
stuff.
Thank you. Okay, let's start fixed stars. It's kind of a basic, but a lot of people like, well, stars or stars or stars or stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was going to let you do it, but you're there.
Oh,
like, okay.
I thought you were going to ask me a question.
Okay, well, tell people what, when you say, or any of us say fixed stars, what are we referring to?
Well, the rule is first and second magnitude fixed stars, which the ones that count are mostly in the northern latitudes, in a 0-degree aspect, that's 60 minutes, 0-degree aspect, to any angular planet, any hot planet, constitute a conjunction of the intrinsic value of the planet and the fixed star.
Yeah, it's a fixed star. A fixed star is the bright ones that make up our constellations.
Some of them are zodiacal and some not.
Right, exactly. Some say, you know, I'm thinking the Big Dipper, the Great Bear. I mean, it's all the ones that appear fixed from, of course, they're not, but, you know, from the planet Earth.
Right. Like, for example, let's take one here. We got one Cancer 4, 16 South 7, Procrion, or however you say it, the lesser dog. It's the first magnitude stars equals a Mars-Mercury conjunction. So if Jupiter were retrograding back and forth at 1 degree of the cardinal cross, it would be like a Mercury-Mars transit to your whatever.
Okay, that's why we, you know, we do look at them, the ones of us who do. Mercury, let's see, what is Mercury? Right now it's in Libra. Let's see what it is retrograding back over. Because that would...
Do you have the degree of it offhand?
Well, you know what? We use slightly different. I would tell you, I can switch to yours. I would tell you it's at 13 degrees because I'm using the Lahiri. Now, of course, you're using the Cyril Fagan, so
right.
I will let's speak your language for a minute. And let's go to that. And Cyril Fagan, where are we? Man, I so love computers.
What are you using?
I use Solar Fire.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So anyway, so Cyril Faye, so you would say it is at 12:11.
Okay, 12.
Libra right now. So I mean, it's just, you know, it's
right,
30 minutes
run
difference
down to
or 12 something.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, at 12 we've got 12 Aries 55. We've got Hamel, which is Mars Saturn, second degree star. So right now, Mercury is square Mars Saturn.
Okay.
So whether it was retrograding or directing, you'd be picking up a lot of Mercury negativity there.
Okay, so that's if that was affecting somebody's chart personally, of course, it would make more of a difference than,
oh, yeah,
than just out there. But it was funny because I know the first thing I got up this morning, and I was listening to, you know, just the radio that was on, and they were saying that all the roads around here were literally at a traffic standstill. You know, it's like these little drives that shouldn't take that long were going to take like three times the length. And I thought, oh, glad I'm not out there. But, yeah, that's definitely, that would be Mercury Saturn. That's, you know, it's traffic's coming to a standstill. All right, that's something. If you have, you know, a planet, and obviously it's a leading question, and it's like Mercury, which is, you know, so many astrologers ignore the quicker inner moving planets, which I do not, because that's, you know, that's your day-to-day life. I mean, that's and it is personal, and you can see those planets. And so, you know, to me, they're maybe even more powerful than, you know, the transpersonal ones, the outer ones. But if you've got, you know, Mercury retrograding and it's going back and forth over one of your personal planets, and over a fixed star, or it'll go over several fixed stars. What would you say to one of your clients as far as, you know, okay, this 3-week time period?
You just read the case, just like anything else. You know, it's the PhD of astrology, the old man used to say, piled higher and deeper, you know?
I like that.
You do is you count score, you know? You got 11 Saturns and 3 Jupiters. Don't look so good. You got 27 Jupiters and 2 Saturns. Things are going better. You know, so you just count them up. You know, one of these days we've got to have a chat about the 3 techniques of delineation, natal, predictive, progress. And so you apply whichever technique is applicable to the case at hand, and then you just count them up, you know. And the art of delineation is the individual and collective intermingling of intrinsic values. If you have Jupiter on the midheaven and Venus on the midheaven, that's the same thing as having only Jupiter there. It's the same thing as having only Venus there. And it's the same thing as having Venus and Jupiter there. The forces act individually and collectively. So what you do is you just count them up. You know, you got, like right now, what is it? Mercury would be in the Venus lunar mansion of Libra, right?
Yes.
And so there you've got Mercury, Venus, Mars, Saturn, with the fixed star aspect, you know, so it's going to mess around with your friends and love life and generally sexual frustration, evil, vicious black magic. People, you know, think black magic is magic wands and pointed hats and spells and all that, which it is. However, it's much more common trying to manipulate the law for your own self-gain, like the guy who is holier than thou for 2 hours on Sunday morning there, but then Monday morning he's out trying to do something to destroy his competitor's business rather than improve his own customer service.
Exactly.
In order to get ahead in the world. That's black magic,
yeah.
You know. So, you know, Saturn, Mars is black magic, you know. So you'd have a bunch of black magic going on with the business scenario today and et cetera, so forth. You just read the case, piled higher and deeper, count the score.
There you go. Okay, that's I'm going to ask you to explain. Lunar mansions. Now, when I got into astrology many years ago, It was common knowledge, but then it kind of faded out. I mean, I guess it was just one more bit of something people had to memorize or math or whatever. And I think a lot of astrologers, particularly younger ones coming up now, let alone folks just walking around, have no clue. You say lunar mansions. They're thinking, is that a subdivision up on a hill somewhere, you know?
Right. I never thought of it.
Yeah, it's like, okay, all right. Is that that place out the west to the city, you know, kind of thing?
Right, just south of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, basically, San Francisco School says use the Arabic lunar mansions. And basically it's, 12 degrees 51 minutes,
yep.
Starting with zero of the fixed. What is it? You think I'd know this after 40 years.
you just got caught off guard, so it's like...
Moon, Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, Sun, Venus, Mercury?
Yes. I'm looking at myself, make sure I've got it.
Right. So what it is essentially, it represents the moon's path through the heavens in a day.
Yeah.
That's why they call them lunar mansions, you know. And this, rather than the decans or deacons or whatever they call them, is the way it goes, and it doesn't break exactly even with the signs. You know, it'll overlap. You know, a mansion will be part of both signs. You
right.
know? So, and it reads as a conjunction of the planet and a conjunction of the motivating planet of the lunar mansion and whatever is there. For example, if you had Jupiter in the Venus lunar mansion of Libra on your natal horoscope, you would in fact have Jupiter conjunct Venus,
and
they
would
a double Libra Sagittarius.
It would translate out like that, yeah. And that's why, you know, and the reason I like using them is because it just goes to explain why some, you know, essentially, you know, some Jupiters are more Jupiter than others, or some, you know, they're all in the same constellation. What the heck, you know, why is there this difference, or why is that? And it does add another layer, you know, another depth to interpretation.
And if you don't have it, you mess up. Like I always say, reading is like playing hopscotch in a minefield, you know? It's all kinds of stuff out there, and you mess up, it'll mess you up, you know?
Well, it does, and, you know, it, as a professional astrologer, it will come back to bite you.
You betcha, you know, because that stock will go down instead of up or whatever, you know? And she must have been hot, man, I'll tell you. That girl gets more calls, you know, Anna Butter.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been trying to quit saying that my whole life. Anyway,
yeah, it could be worse. I mean, there are other worse things to be saying.
Right.
So the lunar mansion's there, and you know that, and using those, and it does, you know, it does add another depth when you're talking about retrogrades and you're looking at retrogrades.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you had prepared anything ahead of time as to where not just this Mercury retrograde was, and if I'm putting you on the spot, say no, I didn't.
No, just go ahead.
I'll certainly have you back later on to talk about the Mars retrograde, which I have looked forward to with great excitement, I guess, because I've been saying I do think the troops will actually, you know, a bunch of them will start coming back.
Uh-huh.
Don't know how long they're going to stay or how many will actually come back, but I do, you know, feel that will start happening. So I don't know if you looked at that. And, of course, Mars is retrograding in Gemini.
Yes. I monitor your show just for fun, you know, and you know Mars is basically a malefic.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
And it's of course all the intrinsic values due to the law of polarity, yin yang, all that have higher self, lower self, you know, and so of course that's what we're trying to do here. That's the old tiger by the tail scenario. If there's an orange tail sticking around the corner and you grab the tail, you don't actually have the tail, you've got the entire tiger. And so it is with the intrinsic values of the planets. Once you identify having a hold of any piece of a planet, you've actually got the entire planet by the tail. So if you're being restless and impatient, I've got Mars by the tail here. What I need to do is be brave, heroic, courageous, pioneering, executive, go-getter. Get a lot accomplished today. Get the old hustle on. But refuse to bicker and argue and be temperamental, headstrong, foolhardy, wild, reckless, etc. and so forth. You consciously project the higher self qualities of whatever intrinsic value you're dealing with. Well, in transit especially, Mars is mostly a malefic, most common impatient, impulsive, restless, temperamental. And so I would expect for it to be hanging out. It's hanging out there a long time.
About 6 months total, September.
Yeah, that's a long time to be getting beat up by a malefic, you know. Of course, Saturn hangs out 2.5 years and all that, but nonetheless, it's... I expect a lot of stress. Mars is stress, as far as I know, and there's going to, I expect things to do with Mercury and, you know, business, communication, all that rot, you know, in Gemini, you know. Expecting a lot of stress there, man. And so, like I say, you know, when you realize you've got the tiger by the tail, once you know you've got, if you're feeling happy, you've got Jupiter on hand. So you try to be gracious, philosophical, religious, high-minded, honorable, rather than status-seeking, over-indulgent, etc.
Yeah,
you know?
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so what can I say? It looks like a difficult scenario to me.
Yeah, well, it is.
America's a Gemini. Best of my knowledge.
USA
charts Gemini, right?
It is Gemini.
Yeah, well, there you go. So you don't suppose we'd be having any violence and wars and all that, do you?
Well, I'll tell you something. This is something I certainly have monitored over the years, besides the fact we're the one we're already in. Anytime any country, has launched an attack during a Mars retrograde, they lose, and they lose fairly quickly.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it's just something I've just kind of, you know, noted over the years. Okay, what happened, you know, was this a good time to sneak in and do a sneak attack or whatever? And it turned out just the opposite. It's like they launched the attack, and they got stomped, completely stomped. And I thought, okay, well, that's always good to know personally, too, as well as...
The thing is what gets them in trouble is incorrect data and incomplete work. There's millions of times they lost when Mars was direct.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, they're saying all transits are not created equal, all retrogrades are not created equal. I'm sure there's times when they're retrograding back and forth, that army hung around there for a long time and beat up on them, too, you know? Although I haven't done a lot of research on this particular point, you know? However, you know.
No, that's no. Believe me, I'm over here on the East Coast, right next to Washington D.C. So I mean, it's just one of those things. We look at this stuff, you know, when we're doing classes and whatnot. It's unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, it's driven by our location, kind of thing.
All that reality nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
there
once you asked me about how the classes worked at San Francisco School.
Yes, I did. I'm sorry, because I do want you to talk about that before we get off
the
air.
The way it worked was Friday night was a beginner's class, and Saturday afternoon was the advanced class. So Friday night it was, you know, logarithms and diurnal motion tables and GMT to Ramsey and, you know, 24-hour motion and solar returns and, you know, how to computer natal chart and all that was, that was Friday night, beginner's class. And then Saturday afternoon, the advanced class, the old man would present a chart, usually of some famous whatever, monkey or whatever, and he'd have the chart because it illustrated some specific point of how the technique of delineation worked. You know, and so that was basically how school worked. And most people went to the beginner's class for a couple of months, and then they would drop beginners and only attend advanced class. I went to both classes every week for 7 solid years because the old man would say something I didn't know just because I was there, you know. So I had to go, you know, and I had it memorized. I'd know which week to get there early because I had to help him put up the time zone chart for the beginner's class. You know, stuff like that. But anyway, that's how the classes worked. We had beginner, and it was usually 2 to 3 or 4 hours total thing each day. You know, by the time you got there early, stayed late, went to coffee after, et cetera, so forth, you know.
Now, what are you doing now? If someone wants to learn from you, which is what I asked you before, how does that happen?
Well, essentially, there is no school anymore, like we talked before. There's no metaphysical scene here anymore. Not here. And there may be some place in San Jose or something. You know, but here, around here, there's nothing. And, basically, I'm not teaching any classes or anything like that. I do tutor, and it is possible to get me to tutor you, you know, but basically that's it. However, the essence of it is all given away on CountRomalkin.com. I said there's a lot more to it, of course, than what's on the website, but it'll just have to wait for further additions. By the way, now all your readers are eligible. They can all get 6 free ebooks on Grimalkin.com now.
Oh, good.
CountGrimalkin.com. There's the San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology Technique of Delineation ebook, which is the essence of the entirety of the 33 years I had with Mazurek. I say there's more to it, but the essence of it is there. And then there's the San Francisco School of Sidereal Astrology Technique, which is the quick reference version of the technique of delineation. It's very much shorter. It's just the quick reference version. And then there's the Count Grimalkin Sidereal Horoscopes Chronicle, which is essentially me prattling on and elucidating about the technique. And then there's the Tarot Manual. There's the Fortune Teller Manual, which incidentally made its debut. You'll never guess. You must be one of those physics on the Deborah Dillard Show. It was delivered as an address on the Deborah Dillard Show and can be heard in archive. I think it's May 23, 2007. And is now an ebook. Made an ebook out of which, I mean, it runs it down A to Z, you know.
I love it. How wonderful.
God to golly, you know.
Yeah.
Tells you essentially, you know, it runs down the meaning of the cosmos, how to read and predict it, and what to do about it. And then there's the Jesus Nativity by Reverend Professor John Mazurek. And it's a really decent example of how the technique of delineation works, which is, of course, why I did it. Fagan dug up the original data for Jesus chart in Tropical, and John found some and converted the sidereal and used it for this book example. And however, the Lunar Mansions book and the Jesus book that Mazurek wrote were both written before he finished his proof that exaltation, dignity, fall, and all that is a bunch of rot, has no significant relevance in workaday astrology. And like I say, anyone, everyone is welcome to have a go at San Francisco School Technique. So you just feel free to call up your bookie and broker and bet that mortgage money on anything on the zero relevance list. And when you get tired of being homeless, reread the list, baby.
Well,
if it doesn't work at the track, it doesn't work in your daily life.
No, and that is absolutely true. It is. Well,
it's got to work everywhere, yeah.
Well, I've got 2 minutes left. I've got to do a small commercial. I'm delighted to have you back on. I'd love to have you back on. Let's do it next month sometime in November.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on. And remember, angels can fly because they take themselves lightly.
That's it. I'll give you a call in a couple of days, okay?
Thank you.
All right, bye now. Okay, this is, Deb's the Horoscope Lady on BBS America. I'd like to remind everybody that you can read your free sidereal weekly horoscope on mybirthchart.com, mybirthchart.com. That's your free weekly sidereal horoscope. I will be speaking at the AARP meeting at noon in McLean, Virginia, at the McLean Community Center. It's this Friday, October 19th, and you can call 703-790-0123. That information will be up on mybirthchart.com. You'll be able to buy my book soon on BBS Bazaar, but before that, you can certainly buy it on my website, mybirthchart.com, or search by thestars.com, or even amazon.com, and proceeds from that help support this show. Thank you so much, and have a great week. Bye now.